Hola. Oops.
Hola.
I'm supposed to say Puji Tuhan instead of hola, right? This is, well, I'm going to blame this on Sister Joyce Palmer because she stays in the same room with me. Well, Puji Tuhan means praise the Lord. So would you like to say it together with me? Puji Tuhan. You are all welcome to Indonesia because you can say it very well. Okay, this morning I'd like to share a little bit about Indonesia itself and then about my ministry in Indonesia. I have some slides that I like to share with you. This is the Republic of Indonesia. Our flag is red and white. And maybe many of you have no idea about Indonesia. An American once asked me when I told him I'm from Indonesia. He said, "Indonesia? Where is it?" And then I asked him, "Have you heard about Bali?" "Yes, I know Bali. But what part of Bali is Indonesia?" Well, actually, Bali is in Indonesia. Bali is just a little island in Indonesia. Unfortunately, Bali is more well-known than Indonesia itself. That's why this time I prepared a brief presentation to show you a little about Indonesia before I share my testimony. Indonesia is located above Australia and below the Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, and also China. See, Philippines, here China, and it's Thailand, and Kuala Lumpur, and Singapore. Indonesia has 5 major islands: Sumatra, Kalimantan or Borneo that looks like a dog, Sulawesi that looks like a scorpion, West Papua that looks like a bird's head, and also Java. Please watch, please notice Borneo, Papua, and Java because I'll mention those islands again specifically. Java is the most populated and the capital city, Jakarta, is in Java. Java is the most populated and the capital city, Jakarta, is in it. Okay. And also, Indonesia is right on the equator. It's very warm and humid. I bet you all would love it. And Indonesia has so many ethnic groups. They are shown by the different colors in this map. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world. It has 13,466 islands, 6,000 of which are not populated and is about 3,200 miles. Ladies, you usually have no idea about distance in miles, like I do. So here I give you something easy to imagine. From Jakarta here to Manokwari here, if you fly, it takes about 6 hours. The population in the year of 2013 is about 260 million. This is the 4th biggest population after China, India, and USA. And it has the most Muslim population in the world, although it's not a Muslim country. And there are more than 500 tribes speaking over 1,000 languages and dialects. But we do have national language, which is Bahasa Indonesia, or some people would call it Bahasa. Each tribe has its own unique traditional dress, culture, art, and also special food. So we are very rich in everything. The population of Jakarta itself is now about 12.7 million during the day and it's about 9.9 million at night. Of course, Jakarta is nothing compared to Waverly. Jakarta is far less populated than Waverly. At the beginning, I mentioned about Bali. Now you can see how Bali is just a little tiny island. In Indonesia, I hope starting now there will be nobody who is going to ask, what part of Bali is Indonesia? Bali, although very beautiful, you won't like the spiritual atmosphere here because it's an island of gods. You will see Hindu temples everywhere and Hindu altars full of offerings to their gods in every single house. But Bali also has very interesting thing. They're very well known for their beautiful rice terrace. It's like stairs. And this is one of their temple. Okay. Now we have come to the capital city of Indonesia where I live, named Jakarta. It's a metropolitan city, and just like all other capital cities in the world, many skyscrapers, flyovers, but we also have slum areas, and this is the traffic jam. We have, how exciting. This is no joking. The caroms, the Paul caroms love this very much that they come twice a year. After showing off a little bit about the very modern city of Jakarta, I'm now going to show you a big contrast. In East Borneo, remember an island that looks like a dog? There's a community that hasn't been touched by modernity nor Christianity. They are from Dayak tribe. It's very tragic that despite of the tremendous rich resources we have in Indonesia, it only prospers the corrupt. The Dayak tribe live in a very long house. So you see this? Very long house, about 300 feet long, and about 30 families live in it. How do you like that? This is the inside of the house when they were gathering, and also they are still using rivers for transportation. And this is the Dayak bridal costume. Here we can find the unique animal called orangutan, or if I translate it literally, it means jungle man. I think the one who named it believe in Darwin's theory. And the woman's beauty is measured by how long their ears are. You see this? So therefore, they wear many heavy earrings to make their ears long. I'm glad I'm not one of them. And then now we are going to see the worst island in Indonesia, which is West Papua. Believe it or not, there are some cannibals in it who lives on trees. Both Borneo and Papua are super rich with oil, gas, forests, gold, and other things. But even after our Independence Day in the year of 1945 until now, they're still not touched by much civilization. How Indonesia need the Lord. And we all know that the gospel has to reach the whole world first before the end comes. The uncivilized tribes in West Papua lives in the mountainous jungle in huts made of hay. There still have wars between tribes. And It has a very wonderful bird named paradise birds in this island. But also we have some bona fide men in these tribes. They have bones in their nose, so I call them bona fide men. And so how Indonesia really need the Lord. This is how Indonesian people look like. My skin is a little lighter than they are since I'm 3/4 Chinese. Now, let's see a report on translation work, Bible studies, and Bible schools that use Zion books. The Voice of Hope is the name of Christian foundation that's owned by Rudy Tanusudibyo. Some of you knows him. Voice of Hope has been taking Zion books under its wing for quite a few years. And I send the copies of the translated books to Voice of Hope, and they proceed with the multiplication, storing, distribution, and also they do some lobbying to the Bible school, churches, and etc. Now, we are going to see the progress report made by Daniel Saragi, the manager of Voice of Hope, who is also a teacher in Bible studies. Here we can see how many classes, how many students, number two is Bible schools that are affiliated with Zion Christian University in MTH program. Next, we are going to see the more detailed report on Bible school that's affiliated with ZU in the MTH program. This one, there are three Bible schools there. And then now we are going to see detailed reports on Bible studies. So the Bible studies, the module that we are using is this. And these are the students, and these are the church or the groups that wants by their Bible study using Zion books. If you see this, GBI Glow, this big church denomination sent all their workers to attend our Bible study. That's why you see 715 there. Look at how many workers they have. And this is just a start. Please wait for more info a little later. And these are some more church and groups and students and models that are used in the year of 2012-2013. You see Bellagio, I see WS there. Is a multination church, and I'm going to tell you more details later. We just had, you remember the GBI Glow that I mentioned before. They just had a grand opening on September 8th, so a couple weeks ago. A grand opening on September 8th for their Bible school that will be using Zion curriculum also. And these two men, Daniel Saragi and Dr. Carl Saragi, the father and the son, I guess I don't need to tell you which one is the son, which one is the father. Daniel Saragi is the manager of Voice of Hope, and his father, Dr. Carl Saragi, are main instruments for all the Bible studies and Bible schools. And Dr. Carl is the ZU representative in Indonesia, who is also one of the main teachers for Bible studies and Bible schools, and he also can teach in English. And we don't have very many teachers that can teach in English. Unfortunately, recently he just had a stroke. He can eat and walk normally now, but he's not able to speak yet. So we would highly appreciate your prayers for him, since he's a very important instrument. These two men, they're very main instruments in Indonesia. So if you remember Indonesia, would you please don't only pray for me, but also pray for the two precious men. And it's very interesting that Dr. Carl was my previous pastor when I was still in teenagers, in my teenage, and Daniel was my Sunday school student. Isn't that interesting how God put us together again? And also, these are some of the translated books in Indonesian style covers. Oops, okay. I'd like to say something about, okay, there are also 67 books and about 14 teachers' manual that have been translated so far. And since books for undergraduate and graduate programs in Bible schools are needed, we are trying to catch up with the needs now. And for those who do not like to read books, I'd like to inform you how powerful Zion books are to change us. I do not like subjects like history, second coming, doctrine. I don't like those subjects. Especially, I hate history with all my being. I have no option but to translate. I just finished working on church history and the raising and the falling of a Christian church before I came here, and you know what? I love those books. See how great the power is to change the hate from hate to like. Uh-oh, you're gonna see me now. I mentioned about Bellagio, the church that has alternations in it. They asked us to teach Zion books, so we taught True Christianity, Journey of Israel, and also Minister's Manual in their Bible study group. Since we don't have many people who can teach in English, Pastor Paul Karam and Sister Betsy made me teach there. To me, this experience is truly a wow experience because I hardly speak in English in daily life. And so to teach in English is very, very hard. The vocabularies in those books are not in my range of speaking vocabulary. So the material, and also the material itself is already awesome. That leaves me nothing to say. But praise the Lord for Puji Tuhan, for his awesome grace. I was very well accepted there. One time I had to teach. So this is in that church, in that multinational church. I have two Nigerians with me there. One time I was preparing my lesson to teach there. I was preparing to teach Christ's Bride. And then suddenly, while I was typing and I made like 2.5 pages, suddenly the light went off. And then when it finally turned on again, I lost all my notes. And I had to prepare also PowerPoint presentation there. So I rushed. I only made 2.5 pages. So I really didn't, you can see when I try to speak directly, I goof here and there, you know. But that's why I have to have written notes with me. But I lost my notes. I only have 2.5 pages that day. So, but before I left my house, the Lord reminded me, grab your PowerPoint presentation that you used to teach teenagers in your church on True Christianity. So I just grabbed it and then rushed. And I didn't get a taxi. And then finally I took a public transportation bus, which made me like a sardine there. And then I got off. I had to take another taxi or public transportation, but there was nothing. So I had to walk for about 30 minutes. I was flooded with sweat. When I got there, I only have 30 minutes left. And then I have to connect the presentation that I used for the teaching the teenagers with what I already have written, because I don't know how to connect them. And then I was really flooding with sweat, and I was really tired from walking, and I had high heels and everything. But by God's grace, that was the best teaching that I ever had, because people came to me afterwards. They said, "Wow, we never had such a wonderful teaching before," they said. Even the coordinator of the Bible study, Sister Puspa, who is an Indian lady, she invited me to three of her home groups full of Indians, India. And since then, so it's really, after that, it's an open door for me to have my little India. Because now I've been inviting quite often to these home groups. So I really praise the Lord for this open door. In my church, I moved to a certain church after I came back from here 6 years ago. Pastor Bailey and my spiritual parents, Pastor Paul Karam and Sister Betsy, wanted me to move to a certain church. And then over there, I was trusted with teen ministry. And before I accepted this ministry, I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, what kind of ministry do you want me to be, do you want me to take in this church?" Not long after that, I was in the public transportation twice, and exactly the same thing happened to me in that public transportation for 2 days, almost in a row. I suddenly cried when I heard the conversation of a bunch of teenagers. And my heart was so sad because, boy, the conversation is just, you don't want to hear them. You don't want to hear those conversations. So because I had that experience twice, so I asked Lord, what do you want me to have teen ministry? So the Lord gave me a verse from Joel 2 where it said that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy or saying edifying things in for my version, that's what the Lord was saying to me, and your young men shall see visions, teen of vision. That's what God wants me to prepare the teenagers as teens of vision, so they don't live for themselves, but for the Lord. So I really praise the Lord. You know, I have no interest in this age, I have no interest in what the teens like, you know, in their age, but God gave me wisdom after wisdom, and also creativity. I've been even supported by my church parents to do this ministry. So I have, I've been there for 5 years, but I can see fruits already, although they're not ripe yet. But like one of my teens said, after I shared about Papua, "Auntie, pray for me. I really would like to be a doctor and go to Papua." And then one of the teens also, she felt that the Lord wanted me to be a blessing to the youth internationally, but she came from she's not from a rich family, so her parents cannot send her to America. So she asked for a scholarship from the Lord, and God gave her. And she just entered a Christian university in Georgia, and then she's taking international study as her major. And because she wants to have a impact for the youth internationally. So God really answered her prayer. I'm really excited to see growing in the vision that God gave her. So this is my testimony. Oh, I have a couple more presentation. This is the Christmas caroling. We do a lot of charity works also, because I want the children to have compassion and would start have a dream about what they're gonna be to bless Indonesia first, and then to whatever God send them. So we are visiting the Down syndrome also, because I want them to see that the Down syndrome is those who don't grow mentally. So I want the children, the teenagers, to see that this is what's gonna happen to you. If you don't grow spiritually, you are Down syndrome spiritually. And also, these are some of them who are baptized, and we are going to have about 15 more pretty soon that are going to be baptized. May the Lord bless you. I really appreciate all the prayers, all the supports, whatever, in whatever form. Praise the Lord, and God bless you.